Deceased is Professor Richard Seeger. He was released from prison yesterday after serving a year for causing death by dangerous driving.
Did you snap?
I didn't hurt him.
He killed my daughter.
She thinks I killed him, doesn't she? Well, you know what? I wish I had.
Well, I'm told you're the master here, and I was hoping you could give me some information about his academic life. You were promoted to his chair of chemistry.
Anything I stood to gain from his death.
What about this 500, the thing he scratched into the paintwork?
But one of the hairs taken from the driver's headrest had DNA that's an exact match for Rachel Cliff.
What?
Are you arresting her? You can't arrest her.
In a chapel, D.I. Robert Lewis finds a skeleton in an attic.
How long has this been up here?
Maybe it wasn't a number. It was a name.
A luggage label, Su Min Chong. White lettering on a black background, Kevin Waitley, Lawrence Fox. Scene of crime officers step along a pathway, Dr. Yardley's with police officers. Stella's with Martha. She puts her arm around the Reverend as they stare up at scaffolding outside the chapel. Lewis, this episode intelligent design, in the attic.
Time of death, Doctor.
You're going to need a forensic anthropologist on this one, Robbie. All I can say for certain is it's an adult female, multiple fractures, including the skull. So a fall, beating with a blunt object, maybe.
Any idea at all how long she's been up here?
Decade or more. Really not my area, I'm afraid. Prefer a bit more flesh on my bones.
Sir.
DS James Hathaway joins Lewis.
What?
Office ran a check. There's a record of a Su Min Chon who disappeared in June 1998, aged 20. She was an exchange student from South Korea studying chemistry at Benison College.
So she'd have been taught by Professor Seeger.
Just finished a year assisting his research group. Booked a flight home, never turned up.
Must be her.
They emerged through a narrow doorway in the chapel.
Wouldn't have been easy, dragging her up that far.
Do we assume she was killed here?
Well, I don't think we can assume anything. I can't imagine you could move a body through the college without somebody seeing. Laura reckons it was a fall or a beating. What?
Hathaway points up.
Snap clean off.
A missing piece of carved wood. The two men come out of the chapel. Outside, they see Rachel Cliff and Adam Tibbett on a bench. Police tape cordons off the chapel.
Right. Where were we?
Tell us again where you were in the early hours of Tuesday morning.
In my boyfriend's room in Benison College all night.
And have you ever been inside Professor Seeger's car?
No. If you're not going to arrest me, why do you keep asking me the same questions?
You're free to leave at any time. But I'd like you to stay and help.
In particular, I'd like you to explain how a hair found on the driver's headrest of the car that killed Professor Seeger is a perfect match for your DNA.
Rachel looks thoughtful, her brown eyes sliding from side to side.
It must be her. Martha must have put it there.
The only reason we're able to get this DNA from the hair at all is because it still had the follicle attached. Are you saying the Reverend Seeger's been pulling your hair out?
No. I don't know.
In an observation room.
That's not her, is it?
Isn't it?
Oh, she's 18. She'd have been in nursery school when Su Min was killed.
We can't assume a connection. Professor Seeger's death might have nothing to do with our skeleton in the attic.
Well, he spent his dying moments writing Sue, and then the body of a girl called Su Min turns up 2 days later.
Well, if you're so sure there's a link, it makes sense for you to handle both investigations. Su Min's missing persons report. Enjoy.
It's all a bit convenient, though, isn't it? The hair in the car just happening to give us a nice DNA match.
Of course, another alternative is that Rachel's hair ended up in the car because it came off someone else.
The chief superintendent plucks a hair from Lewis's jacket. Adam strides out of the Tibbetts' front door and grabs his bike.
Adam, please! Look, Adam! We can sort this out! Adam, please!
The original investigation, Professor Seeger was the last person to see Su Min before she disappeared.
Give us a look.
In his statement, he said she came to his office in college on the 17th of June to get her exchange credits signed off. She stayed for 20 minutes and then left. That was the last time anyone saw her alive.
Perhaps she never left his office. What's this?
Statements from study mates and friends saying that she was quiet, super clever, musical. She was Martha's organ scholar in chapel, apparently. Mm.
Lewis goes to a whiteboard and writes Su Min.
And a statement from her ex-boyfriend, Carl Drew.
Hathaway holds up the statement. Lewis turns to look. Uniformed teenagers pile out of a school building. In a science lab, Carl pushes glass flasks on a trolley.
Sue?
We'll need the forensics to be sure, but we think it's her. We understand that you were close.
I'm not sure about close, but we were... Oh, God.
Excuse me. Yep. Good.
When I started my doctorate here, there was a bit of a thing between the graduates.
Yeah.
A sort of tradition.
Thank you.
To see who can bed the most undergrads. You know what it's like. So I went for Sue. This was way before Stella and I got together, but she was Sue's lab supervisor, and I was trying to get her attention.
By having sex with a research assistant?
It wasn't my finest hour, but it was 15 years ago.
So what happened?
It wasn't serious. And we said goodbye a few days before she was due to go home, and that was the last time I saw her.
Remind me where you were the night the professor was killed?
In bed with my wife. I'm sorry, but what has the fact that I went out with Su Ming 15 years ago got to do with Seeger?
Probably nothing. As I say, just building a picture.
They're saying they're going to be in there for another 24 hours. He'd hate strangers going through his things.
Do you know you're welcome to stay with us for as long as you need to, don't you?
I know. You and Carl have been so kind. But I feel I want my own... Adam! What's wrong with you?
On a riverside path, Dr. Stella Drew and the Reverend gawp at Adam, who cycled towards them, then swerved. In the lab, Carl puts down a tray of equipment and drops it.
Oh, God!
He kicks a cupboard. Lewis and a couple of PCs carry large boxes in the CID room.
It never ceases to amaze me how much a woman can get into one suitcase.
They put them on a desk.
You owe me a drink. In fact, several drinks. Number one, dental records from the other side of the world confirming this is indeed Su Min Chong from the Itaewon district of Seoul. Number two, the initial report I was able to drag out of the forensic anthropologist. He believes the skeleton dates back to the late 90s and that he finds me unnecessarily pushy.
Yeah, Laura, I have...
And number three, a luminal test showed a tiny stain on the suitcase was dried blood. The DNA was pretty degraded, but there was enough for a reasonable comparison. And it's a match for Professor Seeger.
Seeger's blood is on Su Min's suitcase.
Here, under the handle.
I knew there had to be a connection. Where's Hathaway? We should ask the Reverend Martha if she can shed any light on what was going on between Su Min and her husband.
How much longer are you people going to be? Every hour you spend pulling our chapel apart is costing this college a fortune.
It's the skeleton of a murdered girl in your attic. It'll take as long as it takes, I'm afraid.
She was identified as a student here in the late 90s, Su Min Chong.
Hundreds of students pass through this college every year. I can't be expected to remember them all.
But even the ones that mysteriously vanish, there can't be too many of those, surely?
You're right, Adam.
No, you've got to stop harassing Rachel. She can't take it.
Tall, lean Hathaway takes curly-haired Adam aside.
This will take some time.
We're not harassing her.
You're trying to frighten her, saying her hair was in the car when it can't be. She's never been anywhere near it.
How can you be so sure?
Because she's not a liar. Because she was with me all night.
Asleep?
Yeah.
Well, then how can you be certain she was with you the entire night?
I just am.
I'm worried, Adam. I'm worried there's something you're not telling me.
Well, there isn't.
Because if your theory's right and your girlfriend's never been near that car, then we have to ask ourselves how her hair got onto the driver's seat. One answer to that question is that it came in on your clothes because you were the driver.
You don't know what it's like.
What's like?
Not being good enough. Being surrounded by people who are, people who get it. I'm not meant to be.
I don't want to hear sob stories. I want to know what happened that night.
I know Rachel didn't leave my room because we didn't go to sleep. She stayed up with me all night because I couldn't stop crying, okay? I'm pathetic.
Anyone confirm this?
That I'm pathetic? Yeah, sure, try my tutors, my parents, my lab partners.
That you both remained in the room all night.
Forget it.
He storms off. Debbie Cliff's behind a tea room counter and looks towards the door as Rachel comes in. Wearing an apron, she goes over.
You said you were coming straight home. Where do you think you've been?
No, I went for a walk.
Leave that.
It's Adam.
It's always Adam. You can phone him back. Look, tell me what they said.
They're having a go, that's all. Seeing if I'll freak out. Mum, I'm telling you it's fine, okay?
She snatches back her phone and goes. Stella brings Martha a cup of tea as she sits with Hathaway and Lewis in Benison College.
She was the organ scholar during my second year as chaplain here. Sweet little thing. I don't think Richard ever mentioned her, though.
Not at all.
I'm not sure I even knew she was a chemist.
Your husband said you supervised Suman's lab work for a while. Was that part of Professor Seeger's Alzheimer's research?
Yes. Well, she worked for a few of us in the group, vaguely competently, as I remember.
That good?
Well, she wasn't exceptional.
But according to the missing persons report, she seems to have been extremely clever.
Well, it's Oxford, Inspector. Everyone's extremely clever.
And there's no way your opinion could be tainted by the fact that she was sleeping with Carr.
Of course not. We weren't together.
Apologies for having to ask you this, Reverend. But is there any possibility that your husband was having an affair during Suman's time in Oxford?
That's absurd. Look, I'm sorry, but you said this girl had been dead for years. My husband was murdered 2 days ago. Why aren't you doing anything about that?
Yeah, we are, I promise. We believe he might have tried to communicate her name as he died.
What do you mean, communicate?
I can't say any more at the moment, but do you have any idea why he might have wanted people to make a connection between himself and Sue Min?
He wouldn't. He hardly knew her.
She was so important to him, he used his dying breath to write her name, yet never even mentioned her at all. Sounds like an affair, if you ask me.
Hathaway pats his jacket.
You lost something?
Yeah, my phone. Must have left it at the school.
What was it Stella and Seeger were searching again?
Oh, Simon. You're funny.
Hathaway comes towards the school door and opens it. He heads along a corridor. Opening a classroom door, he stops and stares at a figure hanging, then rushes over.
L is the angular momentum quantum number. L tells you the time and shape of the Orleans.
He holds up the weight of the body on a whiteboard. Thanks, sir. The classroom in a body bag. Lewis and Dr. Laura Hobson follow.
I'd say it's been less than an hour. Nothing obviously suspicious. No indications of a struggle. No marks on his arm suggest a history of self-harm.
No sign of a suicide note on it?
No, but the words on the board and the study notes at full volume send a pretty clear message, don't they?
Outside, Hobson sees Hathaway with a cigarette.
Is he okay?
He found him, cut him down.
Oh, God.
I know.
Carl and Stella come rushing over to Lewis, who passes behind a black van with private ambulance on the bonnet.
The headmaster called. It's Adam.
We had a tutorial yesterday. I basically told him he was failing.
It's not your fault.
I didn't offer him any help.
Adam was your pupil before he went up to uni, is that right?
I was his chemistry teacher. He was a good lad.
Did you see him this afternoon?
No. I went home 10 minutes after we finished talking.
There was some writing on the board in your class. Thanks, sir. Was that there when you left?
No. You mean he's blaming me?
It's not clear yet. Can you imagine why he would choose to do this in your lab?
He must have been angry at me for pushing him to apply. I thought it's what he wanted. I really thought he'd do well. Sorry, the head. Do you mind?
Of course.
He goes. Fair-haired Stella gives a slight smile and steps away. Besuited Lewis strolls over to Hathaway, looking apprehensive.
How you doing?
Fine. Told me to expect it in this job. You were right.
I can never get my head around kids killing themselves over exam stress. We should sound out Rachel. Maybe she confessed to him after our interview, and that's what triggered it. Because otherwise, you know, why today? What happened today that tipped him over the edge?
Sir, I'm concerned that I put undue pressure on Adam when I spoke to him in college earlier.
What kind of undue pressure?
He was so insistent that the hair couldn't have come off Rachel. It was just something strange about the way he seemed so... So I suggested that it transferred from his clothes because he was the one driving the car.
Well, that's not undue pressure. That's a sensible line of inquiry. Come on.
In an alleyway, ponytailed Debbie's looking at her mobile. Lewis and Hathaway park across the street and see her.
Hold on. Modern miracle? Where's the crutch gone?
CCTV shows her in A&E the night of Seeger's murder. You wouldn't hang around in there all night unless you had to.
Well, I might. I knew somebody was going to be killed and I fancied a watertight alibi.
Seeing them come over, Debbie rushes off in the tea room.
I've no idea where she is. She ran out the door. She was a mess.
Oh, I'm sorry. They shouldn't have told her about Adam over the phone. We said we'd come round.
Yeah, hours later.
Do you know when Rachel last had contact with Adam?
We need to piece together what happened. For his family, if nothing else.
They spoke on the phone at 5:30 maybe.
Any idea what they talked about?
Do you tell your mother what you talked to your girlfriend about? I have to ask Rachel, if you can find her.
How's the ankle?
Fine, better, thanks.
Well, it must have been pretty serious. 6 hours in A&E and it healed overnight.
What are you now, a copper or a doctor?
I only ask the question.
Oh, you lot with your questions. You ask all the questions, but you don't actually listen to the answers, do you? I tell you one thing they did talk about. They talked about you. Adam told Rachel what you'd said to him. She couldn't get him to calm down. A boy under that kind of pressure and a girl still grieving for her sister. But it's okay, isn't it? Because you've got a badge.
She turns her back to Hathaway, who looks devastated. The detectives come out of the tea room and cross the road to the car.
She's just lashing out because she wants to avoid talking about her alibi because it's clearly dodgy. Can't take it personally.
She's right. We don't listen. All we do is interrogate.
Yeah, well, that's the job. We ask people difficult questions. Doesn't mean we're responsible for their decisions.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I do. Look, take some time off tonight. Come and have dinner with me and Laura.
No, thanks. I'm all right.
You wouldn't be interrupting anything. It's a takeaway.
Really? I've got plans. Thank you, though.
He heads away from the car. Lewis watches him go with an anxious frown, then turns away. Debbie sits on a bed in a pink-painted room. She looks down and smooths folded nightclothes on her lap. Putting the nightclothes under a dark pink pillow, she presses down a pale pink cushion on top of it and strokes it with her palm. Hathaway strolls wearily along a path. He stops by a wrought iron gateway on a low bridge and lights a cigarette. Lewis is on his couch with Hobson dishing out a takeaway. Fair-haired Hobson pours wine.
Interesting. You can taste those.
Lewis feeds her a mouthful of food with chopsticks. Hathaway is at the chapel and shows his ID to a police officer, then ducks under police tape. Inside, he steps towards an altar under a large stained glass window. Solemn-faced, he kneels and bows his head. He lifts his gaze and looks as if deep in thought.
I don't care about the reference number. I just want you to go out there and start looking or
this
making
some... This is Claire.
It's Rachel. She's not answering her phone and her friends haven't seen her. I didn't know what else to do.
Chief Superintendent Jean Innocent finds Lewis writing on a whiteboard in the CID office.
Is this a craft project or a cry for help?
It's the only way I can get my head around how these two are connected.
I still think you're going to miss this when you're growing carrots and watching Countdown.
I'll find plenty to keep me busy.
Like what, though? What are you actually going to do?
What does anyone do? I'll potter.
Sir, I've just seen Debbie Cliff at the front desk. Rachel didn't come home last night.
Well, that's all we need. Is there a report out for her?
Yeah, Desk Sergeant's working on it now. Hobson wants to talk to you. She's got the lab to cross-check Adam's DNA with the unknown DNA profiles from the car, and we've found a familial match on one of them.
Familial match?
At the Tibbetts, Adam's father, Ron, leads Lewis and Hathaway into a sitting room.
My wife's in a bit of a bad way. I'd rather let her sleep, if that's OK.
That's fine. Oh, I'm sorry to bother you at a time like this.
No, you're just doing your job. I don't know what I can tell you, though. We don't understand it ourselves.
Did Adam ever talk to you about what was troubling him?
I think it was all just building up. Exams, worrying about his girlfriend, and then that man coming out of prison.
Professor Seeger, did you ever meet him?
No. I've heard what happened to him, though.
Have you ever been in his car?
No, of course not. Why do you ask that?
We found DNA belonging to one of Adam's close relatives in there, either a parent or a sibling.
Well, that can't be right.
He doesn't have any brothers or sisters?
He was our only child.
In that case, I'm afraid we will need a word with your wife.
No, look, please, let's not involve Liz. I did meet him. And I have been in this car.
Martha unlocks a glazed door and steps inside from her garden. Stella follows.
It feels like we're throwing you out. Are you sure this is what you want?
Honestly, I just need a proper night's sleep in my own bed.
Okay.
The women hug.
You'll give us a shout if you need anything, won't you?
I will. I promise.
Stella gives grey-haired Martha's hand a squeeze and goes. Shutting the door, Martha waves through the glass. At the Tibbetts.
His teacher told us about this course where you could have proper coaching.
Carl Drew's course.
Yeah, that's the one.
Lewis holds a leaflet.
Mr. Drew mentioned this college that he knew of where sometimes for the right student, it might be possible to stack things in their favour.
Are you saying you paid to get your son into Benison College?
A 200 grand donation to the roof fund in exchange for an easy interview and a place. We did the deal in Professor Seeger's car.
Who else was involved?
It was just those two. And the master, Dr. Yardley. Adam had no idea until yesterday.
He found out.
Well, Seeger promised he would never know. Then this letter turned up from the prison a couple of months ago saying that he'd changed his tune. Suddenly, it was all morally wrong. He was giving me 10 weeks to talk to Adam myself before he blew the whistle.
Do you still have this letter?
Adam made me show it to him. It was only then that he told me that the man was dead. So I could have got away with never telling him at all. Our last conversation didn't have to be me humiliating my son. It could have been me telling him that that I love every bone of him if he never passed a single exam in his entire life.
Sorry.
I'll get that letter.
Pausing, he turns to Hathaway.
Sorry, what did you say your name was again?
D.S. James.
You're the one who found him. That they said that you tried to help.
I didn't help him.
But you tried. Thank you. Thank you, James.
He extends his hand, watching Lewis blinks heavily. Hathaway gets up from his seat and reaches to clasp Ron's hand, keeping his gaze averted. Martha opens a drawer in her bedroom and takes out a sock from which she pulls out a small brown bottle. Closing the drawer, she sits on her bed and takes a glass from a water bottle. She slowly twists a cap from the brown bottle, then pauses and frowns as if in thought. Putting down the bottle, she unzips her bag. She takes out a card and dials.
D.I. Lewis, please. Okay. No message.
She picks up the brown bottle. In Benison College, Carl gives Lewis a handwritten letter.
Well, I guess it's all there, isn't it?
He sits and looks as if struggling for words.
I just wanted something that was mine, you know. I got fed up of being the other half of the great biochemist.
So you set up Oxbridge Edge.
It's a legitimate coaching business. There were only ever a handful of occasions when it turned into anything more.
And how did those occasions work?
Sometimes, with particular families, you could tell they would do anything. I'd scope them out, and if they were receptive, I'd put them in touch with Seeger. It was a huge risk, obviously. The university would have come down on us like a ton of bricks. But if we could convince Yardley that it was watertight, it'd give us 10%.
Did you receive one of these letters from Seeger?
A couple of months ago.
What would that have done to you?
Look, I see where you're going with this, but I didn't kill him.
Hi. That would be horrible. I don't know why she wanted to go back there so soon when there's...
She studies Lewis.
Is everything okay? Carl?
Well, the college needed money. That was a way to get it. I think it's the only thing that Professor Seeger and I ever saw eye to eye on in 30 years.
But you didn't see eye to eye anymore. Seeger was going to confess. You knew that. He was going to end your career.
I took on this mastership with a very public promise to turn Benison's fortunes around. I staked my reputation on it. But I failed. We reached the point of financial no return 6 months ago. The college will be forced to merge, leaving its master without a future. So there's really nothing that Richard's spiritual cleansing could have done to make things any worse.
An agitated-looking Martha paces and pats her phone clasped in her hand. She dials and listens.
It's me. Call me as soon as you get this. I need to see you.
Lewis and Hathaway are in a pub supping half pints.
Carl Drew, Yardley and Mr. Tibbet, Adam's dad.
Plus any of the other parents who received the same letter. Only one of them could have killed Seeger to stop him talking.
True, but how does that connect to Sue Min?
Maybe it doesn't.
You don't really believe that. Anyway, what about his blood on a suitcase?
So he was her tutor. He carried her suitcase once. It doesn't prove he killed her or that Seeger was killed because of Sue Min.
Graying Lewis savours a mouthful of his drink.
Maybe we started in the wrong place, starting with Seeger. The answer has to be with Sue Min. Now, come on.
Where are we going?
Back to the station, where we've got an entire suitcase full of evidence. You didn't have any plans for tonight, did you?
Carl heads towards a gate beside an old garage at the Seegers. He checks behind him, turning to close the gate, then heads along a path to the Seegers' large house overlooking a lawn edged with overgrown bushes. Hathaway's taking bagged evidence from the boxes in the CID office.
What exactly is it we're looking for?
No idea. Gonna look at every photo, every book, every page of every folder until we find it.
A silhouetted Oxford skyline against a darkening sky. A team of rowers glide along the river in the morning sunlight. They pass two rowers by an overhanging tree. Martha's face up in the water. Hobson and Lewis emerge from a white tent at the water's edge as Hathaway approaches.
The uniform has started a door-to-door. Definitely her.
Let's see, you know his wife.
Well, she hasn't been in there long, only a couple of hours.
Drowned?
No, there's a puncture wound on the chest, so stabbed, then dumped, most likely. Given the location of the wound, there would have been a lot of blood at the scene.
Well, Martha's house is just upstream from here, isn't it?
Let's head over there.
At the Seegers.
Did you get that, man? Not yet. Someone's done a good job. But one of the boys noticed this.
A knife block.
The missing one doesn't seem to be here.
Ah. That's not good news.
Not sure I follow.
Well, Seeger's murder seemed to be carefully planned. The pay-as-you-go phone, car keys stolen in advance. But if that's the murder weapon, then whoever stabbed his wife didn't even think to bring his own knife. And if it's the same person, they're getting desperate.
According to the calendar in there, she kept a regular appointment with her GP. Next one was today at 3, so I thought I might go.
Yeah, why not? See what you can find out. Can you keep us up to date with the door-to-doors?
Just one thing so far, sir. A neighbour said she saw someone turn into the driveway last night. She recognised him because he used to teach her daughter. A Mr. Drew?
What time was this?
Around 6.
Right. Thanks.
PC Stapleton goes.
No need to let on that we can place him at the scene. You go and keep the GP appointment. I'll go and see what his wife might give away.
A stunned-looking Stella sits on a stool in her lab.
I should never have left her in that house on her own.
Where did you go after you dropped her off?
I went straight home. Saw you. Discovered my husband was a fraud. And then I was here until late.
How late?
2 a.m. Maybe. That's what I do when things are bad. I work.
So you wouldn't be able to account for Carl's movements last night?
She fixes her gaze on Lewis.
Why are you so worried about where Carl was? You can't seriously think he had anything to do with this.
She shakes her head. Martha's body's on a mortuary table.
If you look at the photo the manufacturer sent over, you'll see the pattern at the hilt of the knife matches the bruise pattern left around the wound.
Oh. Hang on. James?
I've just been speaking to Martha's GP. We've been asking ourselves the wrong question. Instead of asking ourselves why Martha was able to sleep through her husband being murdered outside of her window, we should be asking ourselves how the killer knew that she'd sleep through.
OK.
Her doctor says she kept pestering him to increase her prescription of sleeping pills, but he said no because he thought she was getting dependent. Then all of a sudden, one day, the pestering just stops, and he says he suspects that she was getting the supplies from elsewhere.
Another person supplying her?
Well, exactly. If a killer was feeding her addiction, then he was helping her drug herself. Maybe Martha figured this out and confronted her supplier.
Right, you need to find the pills. If we can prove that Carl's the one that supplied Martha, I reckon we've got him.
At the school.
Dark matter. That is a very good example of one of the big scientific mysteries.
Carl steps towards Lewis as he comes in the classroom.
Oh, we're nearly finished there. Do you need me to...
No. Carry on. I can wait 5 minutes.
Right. We'll make this the last one. Some of our scientists believe that over 3/4 of the matter in the universe is invisible, even to the most powerful telescope. They call this substance dark matter. If this theory is right, then the answers to some of our most important questions about the universe might lie not in the things we can see.
He eyes Lewis.
But in the things we can't.
Hathaway ducks under police tape and heads along the drive towards the gate by the old garage. In the Seegers' kitchen, he takes jars from a cupboard. Hurriedly, he looks in the cutlery drawer. In the classroom.
Stone knows already. Why didn't you call me?
Can you tell me what you did yesterday after I spoke to you?
I listened to my wife shout at me for an hour. Then she stopped shouting and wouldn't talk to me. Eventually, I went to see Martha.
So you admit that you were at the Reverend Seeger's house yesterday evening?
There was nothing to admit. I went to see if she talked some sense into Stell. But there was no answer.
In the CID office.
I know you're not a fan of the blindingly obvious, but I'm going to state it anyway. The first 24 hours following a murder are too precious to waste on a 15-year-old case.
Dark matter.
What?
It's not what we can see that's important. It's what we can't. Look at this. Su Min's lab notes. They're all meticulously catalogued by project and supervisor. Professor Gilchrist, Dr. Isom, Dr. Marbler. And when we get to Professor Seeger's section, nothing. Why is there no record of the work she did for him?
Sitting on Martha's bed, Hathaway rummages in her bedside cupboard with gloved hands, then rifles through drawers and finds the bottle tucked in the sock. Lewis opens a CD drive.
If she was that well organised, she'd have had it all backed up on one of these.
According to the inventory from Digital, you're looking for a section called amyloid, and there should be Professor Seeger file in there.
On a monitor, Seeger is highlighted on a file list. Innocent reads the opened file.
The amyloid hypothesis, fibril formation and neurodegeneration.
Amyloid hypothesis?
Don't pretend you know what it is.
I'm sure I've heard of it. I think it's something to do with the breakthrough that made her famous.
Who?
Stella Drew.
Hathaway holds up Martha's bottle. The detectives come in Stella's lab. The doctor's using a pipette to fill a tray of tubes.
Prescription sleeping pills. Found in Martha's bedroom, with your name on the bottle. You knew she was doubling her dose, so you knew she'd sleep soundly while you murdered her husband. Dr. Drew.
Over 35 million people are living with Alzheimer's today. That's 35 million people fading away.
Martha figured it out, didn't she? She confronted you in her kitchen. You grabbed a knife and you stabbed her.
Of course, it's not just people with the disease who suffer. It's their families, their children, who have to watch this awful decline.
Why did you murder Professor Seeger? Was it because he killed Su Min? Or because he knew that you had?
No, Richard didn't kill Su Min. Neither of us did. It was an accident.
Yeah, an accident which enabled you to steal lab work from her file and pass it off as your breakthrough. We found a backup on a disk.
It was my doctorate. Su Min was my research student, so anything that she stumbled across was mine to publish. That's what Su Min failed to grasp. Well, she was threatening to take the findings home with her for her own postgrad, so Richard and I went to talk some sense into her.
Tell us about this accident.
Eventually we found her, in the organ loft, collecting up her music. She refused to have a sensible discussion. She tried to leave. Richard was holding on to her. And after that, I don't know. Suddenly she was falling and there was this crack.
If it was an accident, why didn't you call an ambulance?
I was going to, but he stopped me. He said if he went to prison, it would all fall apart. The research, my postdoc funding, everything we've been working for. So I let him do it. I let him hide the body. And then when he cut himself on a nail in the attic, I took over. And then I lived with it. Every day for 15 years, until I realized it wasn't over. It was all just
the catalyst for everything else.
What do you mean?
6 weeks ago, Richard sent me the most extraordinary letter. 3 pages of waffle about God and the prison chaplain, and then there's one paragraph at the end, casually blowing everything apart.
Warning you he was going to confess.
He was going to betray me. After 15 years of telling myself that if I worked hard enough, if the research could make enough difference, then what happened to Sue Min might not be in vain. He was pulling the plug on it all.
So you stole his car keys, you lured him outside, and you killed him. Framing Rachel.
But going to prison means abandoning my research, and I can't let that happen. I have a responsibility to see it through.
Was it your responsibility to kill your mentor and his wife when she figured it out?
And Martha was my best friend. That's the hardest sacrifice I've ever had to make. She said she was going to the police. And
Stella Drew, I'm arrested.
Wait. If you're going to arrest me, you need to understand. My research isn't just some science project. This is work with genuine potential. It could make a difference to millions of lives. If I go to prison, you're setting that back by decades.
I'm sorry, we're police officers. Decisions about the future of mankind don't really feature in our job description.
Stella stares, then blinks slowly as if with resignation. Uniformed officers escort her towards a door with her wrists handcuffed behind her back. Lewis and Hathaway follow as they head over to a police car.
Stella! Stella!
Carl cycles up, lets the bike fall and runs over.
Stella? What's happening?
Stella looks at him, then turns away. An officer puts a hand on top of her head, guiding her in the back of the car. She looks out of a window. A stunned-looking Carl watches the car drive away. Hathaway comes in the tea room. He finds Rachel sitting gloomily at a table.
I heard you were home. I wanted to see how you are and let you know that someone has confessed.
Rachel tightens her lips and gives a little shrug.
Where did you go?
I don't know. I just walked around.
She'll be okay, though, won't you? Just takes time, that's all.
How can you keep making out you're sorry? When you were so jealous of him, you faked a fool just to get some attention.
Debbie lowers her gaze. Rachel stands.
Yeah. I knew. So leave it, okay?
Debbie touches Rachel's back as she goes.
Well, there you go. First my husband left. And Erin.
She's clearing a table, then looks at Hathaway.
It's just me and Rachel now. Got what you came for?
They were clearing out Adam's room in college, returning things to his parents. Thought you might like these.
He holds up a clear plastic folder of a child's drawings and puts them on a table, then turns to go.
Thank you for taking the time. Thank you.
Hathaway looks somber and goes.
You all right?
I think so.
They head off. On a path, Hathaway picks up a stick and fiddles with it.
Are you all right? Surely you're not buying into all that stuff about the future of dementia. Stella Drew's not the only person working on it, you know.
It's not that. I took your advice. Got a meeting with Innocent tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. I know you hate jumping through hoops.
It's not to joke about promotion. It's to hand in my resignation.
Resignation? What's brought this on?
This job makes you look at things differently, doesn't it?
Well, I always told you it would.
No, I know. I didn't understand. I don't like what I've become. I used to think that people were basically good. Now I don't, and I don't know when that changed.
Well, that's just a sign that you're a seasoned copper. It's not a sign you should chuck it all in.
Well, you love this. You're still going to go.
Yeah, I think so. Before too long, but I've got to that stage.
I got to that stage too, earlier.
Oh, I've got a feeling that's not what the fast track scheme's all about. Are you sure about this?
Hathaway's leaning on the low bridge and nods.
I need a change.
In that case, I need a drink. Come on.
They sit sipping pints on pub bench seats at a wood table overlooking the river.
What?
Nothing. We can still meet up for the odd pint, can't we? Two ex-coppers.
Of course. They do a pensioner's special on a Tuesday. I could treat you...
Oi, I'm still your boss for now.
He takes a drink. Hathaway follows.
I hope you don't feel it's been a waste being my boss. Training me up because I've appreciated it.
It wasn't a waste. It was a pleasure. You're all right. And it's Robbie.
He raises his glass.
Thank you, Robbie.
Lewis smiles and drinks. The two men look towards the river and watch punts slowly going by on the still water in the glow of early evening light. ITFC audio description.